set a task or a job of work that to be successful, you've actually got to do yourself out of a job. Well, John the Baptist was rather like that because he knew he had a short working career. His job description was quite straightforward. It was to prepare the way for the Messiah. John was here to lead the people into a baptism of forgiveness and repentance in preparation for the baptism that would come later through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus came on the scene, John's job was over. So why did Jesus come for baptism? As we read in the Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Why do you think he did that? Because being sinless, he did not need to be forgiven. I think it was to identify with humanity, both with the righteous Jews who had come to be baptized by John to seek forgiveness, but also for the general human condition of sinfulness, where we have fallen short of God's expectation of us. And as Matthew writes, Jesus said, it is proper for us to do this. It's fitting that we should, that you should baptize me, he said to John. And this baptism marks a change from the old covenant relationship under Moses and the law with the new covenant under grace. As we read that the last sentence in the reading from Isaiah, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So John was the closing chapter of the old covenant, what we know as the writings in the Old Testament are closed, as it were, by John as the last prophet. And this change from John to Jesus was celebrated by God the Father as he presented, anointed, and authorized the ministry of Jesus. The particular word that we need to hold on to is about the anointing of Jesus, because the anointed one is that word, the Messiah, which in Greek is the Christ. And so whenever we talk of Jesus the Christ, we are reminding ourselves that he has been anointed by God with the power of the Spirit to do God the Father's work. In many places in Isaiah, and Isaiah 42 is one of those, there is the foretelling of the work of Jesus. Jesus here is identified as the servant, the chosen one, God's delight. And in the New Testament, those refrains are picked up and repeated. Matthew 12, here is my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. So we can pick up that theme, can't we, that Jesus the Son was being celebrated by God the Father as he prepared him for his ministry. And how did God the Father do that preparation? He did that by sending the Holy Spirit on Jesus. He anointed him with power. And when Jesus had come up from his baptism, he was empowered and enabled for his ongoing ministry. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, we read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And so Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit for his ministry of teaching, preaching, and healing. And it was a unique experience for Jesus, and not one that we should seek for ourselves. Jesus was no longer the obscure carpenter. He now moves to center stage with that ministry. And that ministry he enacted in homes and in the temple, in private and in public. He went wherever God the Father called him to go. And a key response to his anointing is his submission and obedience to the Father's will. And so this symbolic baptism with the Spirit descending made for Jesus any water baptism quite superfluous, apart from that point of identity that I mentioned earlier. That moving from John to Jesus is the start of the new covenant that had been foretold by Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. The days are surely coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. He then goes on to say, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. We no longer have a law that is written on tablets of stone. We have a law that is written on our hearts, where God speaks to us by being present within us. And that is one of the wonderful aspects of that transition from the old to the new, is that new relationship that we are called to have with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They, of course, have had a relationship together since the beginning. And here we see that Trinitarian identity confirmed here at Jesus' baptism, with the voice of the Father, the affirmation of the Son, and the vision of the Spirit. What has this got to do with you and with me? Well, in the very early days of the church, and I'm talking pre-Pentecost, the Holy Spirit had not been given to the disciples. They, in fact, were told to wait for that blessing which came on Pentecost when the disciples received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a special case. As happened in the early church, when people came to believe, they then received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in their expression of their faith. And God was acting sovereignly in a way to unite what could have been a divided church. Could have been two churches could have been formed in those early days. But God was looking to unite the Jewish and the Gentile believers. In Paul's first letter to Corinthians, he writes, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one spirit." And today for us, we too drink of that one spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us from the time we believe. If we want to use that expression of baptism in the Spirit, it's once at our conversion. And our conversion may have been gradual, it may have been instant, it may have been gentle, it may have been dramatic. Neither is better than the other. As Christians, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And at some point in each of our lives as Christians, we have made that declaration of faith. And there has been a lot of debate, a lot has been written about the efficacy, for example, of baptism. And I believe baptism is a sign of proxy membership, because there cannot be a statement of faith by the infant, but it is the faith of those who have brought that child to baptism. At some point in our lives, as we have grown and matured, we have made that declaration of faith. But the wonderful thing is that the Holy Spirit wants to continually fill us up from within. He is within us, and he wants to well up within us. I like to think of him like a fountain that's in us. And often we restrain him. But he wants to continually fill us. And there's, in Ephesians chapter 5, there is a wonderful phrase that says, be being filled, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And in that passage from Ephesians 5, that was verse 18. But that passage exhorts us how to live under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Be careful and wise. Don't waste your time. Seek God's will and put yourself under God's influence. The first part of that verse actually says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be being filled with the Spirit. Put yourself under God's influence, not the world's. And by that continual infilling of the Holy Spirit, he will enhance our worship and our thanksgiving, our public corporate worship. He will also enhance our private study, our prayer life. Our reading of the word will become more exciting as we ask him to continually and rigorously fill us with his Spirit. Is our behavior consistent with God's presence within? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's God's empowering presence with us. He guides our walk and guides our lives. So I believe that there is no hierarchy of experience of the Holy Spirit. Sadly, churches have been divided by the sense of second-class Christians if you haven't got a particular gift. I believe that is not how God works. God apportions the gifts as he sees them necessary. And we are not defined in our faith by our spiritual experience. We are either Christian and believe in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, or we are not. However, our understanding of our faith grows. It may be gradually, or it may step up in jumps as we do receive a particular epiphany, let's use the word, a revelation of God in our lives. And as we grow in our faith, then our ability to witness of our faith, our fellowship with God, our Christian maturity will all grow. And as that maturity in our faith grows, so we will bear the fruit of the Spirit shown in the relationships that we have one with another. It will be shown in the gifts with which the Spirit blesses us as he equips us for serving one another. The gifts of the Spirit aren't for ourselves. They are for the whole Christian community to build each other up. So by being filled by the Holy Spirit, we are letting the Holy Spirit work in our lives. Yes, he is already there, but sometimes we restrain him in his work by our doubts and our reserve. It's the Holy Spirit doing the filling. It's his work, not ours. Yes, we have to prepare ourselves because we are now the temple of God. Each one of us has God dwelling within us through his Spirit, and we need to be fit for that. So we need to repent, confessing every sin where we fall short. We need to yield all areas of our life, being emptied of that God self. We need to offer back to God our time, our talents, our treasure, our mind, our will, our body, to trust and obey what he is calling us to do and how he is calling us to serve. What I hope you will hear this morning, that you will sense from God, is his desire for his empowering presence to fill each of us, to equip us and to enable us in our work and ministry. But we need to be prepared to be different, because God's presence differentiates us from the world. The Spirit fulfills the Old Testament promise of God's indwelling presence. And if you cast your mind right back to Moses in the Old Testament, as he was leading the Israelites in their journey of the Exodus, he was horrified that God was threatening to take his presence away from the people. And he said, it is only by your presence that we are differentiated. And it's the same today. We are differentiated by God's working in us through that power of the Holy Spirit. So the impact on our lives is that we can enjoy revitalized worship together, that we can share the circumstances of our life in thanksgiving to God, whether those circumstances might seem calamitous or might seem to be a blessing. It is in those renewed relationships and that right living that we can express one to another, dwelling in God's word, in our reading of the Bible and in prayer together. And it is in a deeper intimacy with God in our prayer and praise in private. God's presence empowers us in our witness and ministry. It's a matter of everyday life for us as Christians. It's not a Sunday experience. It's a Monday to Sunday experience, if you like, throughout the week, throughout all time. God is present with us. He's present in his person and he's present in his power. So what is our experienced awareness of that presence? Perhaps think about things that are happening in your lives at the moment. We often put things down to coincidence. I suggest often in the Christian life, it's God's purpose. It's God's happenstance, his initiative, and not coincidence at all. And as we grow in our faith, think of yourselves as a balloon, if you like, if you need a symbol. And as we blow up a balloon with air, so the Holy Spirit wants to blow us up, to fill us with the breath of the Holy Spirit. Pneuma is the Greek word for breath and for spirit. And as we grow in our faith, so we can grow in that experience of the Holy Spirit with us. So while the action of the Holy Spirit is to indwell us, to anoint us and to live with us, it is our response to accept and to seek that indwelling, so that as we are empowered, we may go out to work and witness for the gospel. I'm going to close with a prayer, and then David will lead us in our confession. And if you wish to do so, Dave and I will go to the Coatthorpe side chapel, and after our confession, I will invite you to come and to be prayed with, to be prayed with, to ask the Holy Spirit to come and infill you with his power and the presence of God. Let us pray. This prayer is taken from Ephesians 3. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.